This is Harry Murray. We're going to do our podcast here in the middle of May talking about some of the question and answer things that you've emailed me about, the questions you have when you come in here, things we encounter in their schools. I'm really hot to trot on keeping notes on my calendar at home about that, and a couple of you have asked me on that. Basically what I do, I've got a great big calendar on my kitchen wall. When I get back from a stream, I think it's important for me for future trips to record what I did and didn't do that day. So what I do, I record the temperature of the stream I fished, the area I fished, whether the fishing was good or bad, what flies were effective. And I do this both on the bass and the trout streams. It's especially valuable on the trout streams because I do record the hatches. Like right this very minute, we've got a little yellow stoneflies popping out our ears like crazy. And all the trout are feeding heavy on those. So I rely very strongly on my calendar to help me plan the coming trips and that type thing. Plus, it's nice to look back on the winter when you can't do much fishing. All right, something you all have asked me about is the fly lines that are coming now with this welded loop on the end. Do I use them or do I not use them? Well, I just put a new Scientific Angler bass line on my bass outfit. Now, I left the welded loop on there. However, on my trout outfits, I chop that welded loop off there and go with a needle knot. The needle knot that I tie is going to slide through the guides on these light trout rods much more gently than a loop. Now, I've never had any trouble with a loop on my bass rod. I have a good friend that broke one when a loop got stuck in his guides and the fish ran and the loop didn't give way and the rod did. So the needle knot versus a loop out there on the end, that's a matter of personal preference. I don't use it on my trout outfits here, and I don't use it on my trout outfits in Montana. Some of the boys, as when I rig their outfits up here, say, Harry, I don't want that loop on there. Chop it off, put a needle knot on it. So that's what I do. So that's a matter of personal preference. Now, let's look at some of the other things. A lot of you have talked about camping in the national forests, national parks, that kind of thing. This is a great time of the year to hike into the remote sections of our mountain trout streams. All these rains that we're getting now have kept these streams, the headwaters, especially of these streams and the small upper feeders, they have kept these streams in beautiful condition. So if you go up on the Skyland Drive, the Blue Ridge Parkway, National Forest Roads, and hike in, hike in an hour or so. Set up your camp in the forks of where, say, two of these little feeders come together. If you'll stop by here, I'll go over the maps with you and show you many, many, many of these you do. So let's say you hike in an hour to where the forks of the stream come together. Well, one day you could fish the fork to the left, one day you fish the fork to the right, and the third day you could fish down where they two come together. And this provides some great fishing, some great camping, and like I say, we've got excellent conditions right now to take advantage of that. Hot spots. Do I go back to some place I'm catching fish in the future? You bet your life. I even used to do this down at the Outer Bank. There was a hot spot down the Outer Bank. 17 power poles. No, I said that wrong. 24 power poles upstream from the Buxton corporate sign. And I used to get blues and stripers and puppy drums and everything else up through there. So, yes, I mark those. And, of course, the mountain trout streams, you know, do I mark it by the old oak tree or where there is a sycamore down across the stream or something like that? Yes, I do mark hot spots. In fact, thinking about that, I just looked at a place on the North Fork of the Shenandoah. There's a great feeding station about twice as big as an SUV back against one bank. And it's so hard to find from the side of the river I have to walk in on. I've come to call it the third tree hole because I've go walk upstream till I come to the third great big old sycamore, and then I wade across the river, and there is my hot spot. So, yes, I mark my hot spots and on the trout streams and bass streams, and, you know, I just enjoy that. So these are some of the little things I've run into. Well, here's another one. I just finished a class here on the knots, and a friend of mine has just written another book on tying knots, and they're wonderful knots that we can use in fly fishing. But day-to-day basis, you only need two knots. You need one knot to put the fly on. You need one knot to put the tippet on. By the way, I don't like knotless leaders. I use all knotted leaders. So if you want the simplest knot, you can go to an improved clinch to put the fly on, and then go to a double surgeon's knot to put the tippet on. And that's all you need. Once you've got the reel set up, and if you have trouble with setting the reel up, I'll be glad to do that for you. But with an improved clinch to put the fly on and a double surgeon's knot to put the tippet on, you're home free. So these are just some little things you all have asked me about. If you have any questions on any of this, give me a call. If there are things you'd like for me to discuss in the future, let me know. We'll do this about the middle of each month from now on. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. Call me if you have questions at 540-984-4212. Thank you.